Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our subject today is angels' ministry. It's actually when I was sitting in a conference where this Bible verse has come to me. From Genesis chapter 28, verses 12 and 13. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Amen. There are two types of spiritual beings that God has created. Humans are spiritual, but we are bound by a physical body. Angels are the second type of spiritual beings, and they are not bound by a physical body. The moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, you became a spirit. We are spirits. We have a soul, and we live in a body. The body is having limits. You cannot fly. You cannot beam yourself to somewhere else in an instant. We have a job to fulfill. We see typically in Jesus' life. While he was here on earth, he was limited. He had to eat. He had to drink, he had to sleep. He couldn't pass from one place to another in an instant, and he couldn't walk through doors. At the resurrection, after the resurrection, he lived in both worlds. He could be touched, he ate, but he had spiritual powers to walk through closed doors. He was human, and he is God. He lived in the physical and in the spiritual world. He needed the human body to be seen by the apostles. He needed the human body to meaningfully communicate with him. But don't misunderstand, Jesus is not an angel. He is God everlasting. But angels move in the same way. Suddenly they can appear, and suddenly they can disappear at God's command. There are lots of stories in the Bible of angelic appearances. When God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, angels came to Abraham. And upon his intercession, two angels came to Lot and saved his family. Also, his wife became a pillar of salt because of disobedience. The angels hurried Lot and Sodom into a safe place, while fire fell on Sodom and destroyed everything. During the time of the Judges, an angel appeared to Gideon. We read in Judges chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The angel came with a message that he, Gideon, was to save Israel from the enemies. Another time, an angel appeared to inform of the birth of Samson. We read in Judges chapter 13, verse 3. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you're going to conceive and have a son." When Manoah, her husband, made a sacrifice, we read in verse 20, Judges 13, 20, as a flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. The angel suddenly appeared to his wife, and again the second time, and he disappeared in a flame. He took a physical appearance, but he could appear suddenly and disappear in the flame. We know the stories where the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah to announce the birth of John the Baptist, and shortly after, Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. In both instances, the angel appeared suddenly and again disappeared. At the birth of Jesus, a host of angels appeared to the shepherds. We read that angels served Jesus after the temptation in the wilderness. And when he was in the garden before his arrest, angels came to strengthen him. In the book of Revelation, angels have a major part to play. They announce all the different judgments that God is going to bring upon this earth. In an angelic appearance, the angels came with a specific message. They always have a message. They don't come to entertain. They don't come to perform miracles. Each angel has a specific task, and sometimes they take the form of a human to be able to communicate so that people would listen to them. Angels are clearly not gods. They are not gods, as some people say. They were created a long time ago, long before the worlds were created by God. There are different forms of angels and different levels of authority. God created them for their specific tasks. When an angel appeared to John in Revelation 19 to show him what is going to happen, we read in Revelation 19, verse 10, "At this, I fell at his feet to worship him," John wrote. "But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" We are clearly not to worship angels. The only worship belongs to God the Father in Jesus Christ. Angels are servants of God, and we are too. The Bible doesn't say that we have a guardian angel at our side. But the Bible does tell us that angels are ministering to us. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" There are countless stories of prophets, of people who experience angels guarding and protecting them. Since they are ministering spirits, they know what is happening in the future, in the spiritual realm, and sometimes they protect us in such situations. Many wanted to attack Christians but could not because they saw armed personnel protecting the Christians. I experienced once that I slammed the brake in the car for no reason, and Then I realized if I didn't brake, there would have been a terrible accident. And I know it was the angels who slammed that brake. Angels protect us. They also encourage us. Once we were in church and nobody turned up. And my wife and myself worshipped, we could feel the angels. I could feel how the angels passed me. I could feel the air movement, and my wife heard the sound. But nobody was there. The angels came to encourage. I know of another church where angels appear every week. Every week, angels are coming. In church, you hear the message about the devil. More people are talking about the devil and evil spirits, but nobody is talking about the angels. Of course, there is a devil and he's evil. Of course, there are evil spirits, fallen angels who cause havoc. But because of that, we should not stop the subject of angels. God has created them for our safety. There is a lot of wrong teaching about angels. When I was a child, I learned and believed that when I die, I become an angel. That is what they show on TV, in films, and advertisements. We easily see somebody who is nice, we say, oh, you're an angel. But that is not true. No man or woman will ever become an angel. No human can become an angel. And no angel can become a human. We are human, they are angels. They cannot change, and we cannot change. It's like an old bicycle becoming an aeroplane. It's impossible. Angels are spiritual beings involved in many different tasks, and part of the elect angels' work is to serve, to minister to believers in different ways. The Greek word for ministering refers to being in service to others. Being servants, angels are said to serve believers, which is the original Greek, has the idea of someone waiting on table. The author of Hebrews refers to angels as ministers or servants of those who have trusted in Jesus' salvation. The context of Hebrews 1 especially contrasts the service of angels with the greater work of Jesus Christ, since Jesus Christ is superior to angels. As ministering spirits, angels serve people, believers, in several ways. At times, angels are seen as God's answering prayer. An example is this when Peter was imprisoned shortly after the execution of James. As Peter was in prison and chained between the guards, the church was earnestly praying for God to him. Suddenly, an angel appeared. An angel of the Lord appeared, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," the angel said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. The arrival of the angel to rescue Peter was an obvious answer to the prayer of the church at the same time. Can you see? God can use angels to answer our prayers, just as he did in this instance, even if it is not in a visible manner. Another way that angels are ministering spirits is that they are sometimes sent to encourage believers. Paul was encouraged by an angel during the storm at sea. Providing protection for believers is another service that angels do for the Lord. An army of angels surrounded Elisha in 2 Kings, protecting him from the Arameans. Daniel was protected in the lion's den by an angel who shut the mouth of the lions. Despite the ministries that angels carry out for believers, it's important to remember that the Lord Jesus is our Savior, and He is the one who ultimately sends them. Angels do not act on their own accord, nor are they omniscient or omnipresent. The holy angels do what God tells them to do. It is God alone who deserves the praise and the glory for answered prayers. So when your prayer is answered, you don't say, "Thank you, angel." He says, "Thank you, Lord Jesus." Encouragement, protection, and service that belongs to Him. Angels carry it out, but at His command. We are grateful for the ministering spirits that God has ordained, and we give God the praise for His care for us. For all their power and glory, the elect angels know their role as servants of the Most High. When we go back to our initial verse, we see that Jacob was seeing a ladder going from earth to heaven. On top, he saw God, who gave him a prophecy about the future. Of course, angels do not need a ladder to go from heaven to earth and vice versa. It was a dream that Jacob had. Still, there remains the question, are we ready to see that ladder? Jacob was a cheater. He stole the birthright, and he received the father's blessing by cheating and lying. Yet God had a plan for him. He gave a prophecy to Abraham and renewed the covenant with Isaac and with Jacob. Jacob was still to learn submission, and that is what he learned during the 20 years while he was serving his uncle. Having learned about angels, the question remains, are we ready to see Jacob's ladder? He saw the angels and even God the Father at the top of it. Remember, it was a dream, because no one can see God and live. We call it Jacob's ladder, but actually it should be called the angel's ladder. But we stick to this name, and I ask you, where is your ladder? How can you see angels ascending and descending upon you? They come to you to minister as the angels of God, as the ancients of God. Are you opening the doors of to holy angels so they can guide you? Are you guidable, or are you stubborn? Open yourself to the guidance of holy angels. We know there are evil angels, and they are called demons. We are not opening to them. We chase them out. We cast them out. So how do you know whether an angel is good, holy, or evil? By reading the Bible. As you read the Bible in context, ask the Holy Spirit to show you the truth. If you are familiar with the Word of God, you know what is the truth. Evil angels, they never talk the truth. They will show you sweet pictures, but they are sin. Knowing the Word of God, you can easily see the tricks of evil and turn to good. Cast out the evil thoughts, evil dreams, evil ideas, and fill yourself with the Word of God. May you have a victorious time in communion with the Father and the angels who minister to you. Amen.
Amen.